Hello, it's episode 47 of the 90 Day Website Mastery Podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Pascal Fintoni. Are you all right, Pascal?
Oh, I'm more than all right. You said number 47, which means we're approaching number 50. And I've been thinking about this, Johnny Ross, you know, about 50. To begin with, that people allowed us to do up to 50 episodes is already, you know, a great, great gift, you know, for you and I. And but what does it mean? It means that, you know, by October, November, we'll have answered 50 practical questions about what it means to run a website and feel proud of your website again. That means we've reviewed 50 content pieces, from podcasts to articles to infographics. It means we've given people 100 website apps to try out. Can you imagine? And we have given people 100 simple call to actions to, you know, do right now for their website. This is special.
I agree. I was thinking 100 apps that we've reviewed over these is quite mental. Listen, thanks for joining us. You might be watching us right now live. You might be listening to the podcast. Either way, we're so glad you're here. Perhaps you're on YouTube, perhaps you're on Facebook, perhaps you're on LinkedIn, or even on Instagram. Hello. If you're with us now, please feel free to use the comments, ask us questions, let us know what you want. And if you're listening to the replay or on the podcast, please do reach out and let us know what you think and tell us what you want in future episodes. To remind you, this is the 90 Day Website Mastery Podcast, the perfect companion to our 90 Day Website Mastery Program and our recently published book, Web Proud. It's our 47th episode. We're excited to bring you even more valuable insights and practical advice to help you enhance your website's performance and ultimately make you web proud. We have four segments in every episode. And so without telling you what they are, I'm just going to dive in. I'm going to dive in, Pascal.
Let's go.
Segment number one, you ask, we answer.
So as people can tell, if you're watching live on replay, video or podcast, the title refers to video, smarter video. And this question actually hot off the press from only a few days ago doing a workshop. So we were talking about the power of video, you know, video and visual storytelling, Johnny. And someone said, you know, I do a lot of video on social media. And then I said, well, if it's just on social media, you know, be careful. You may want to repurpose those videos and put them on your website, you know, because it would be missed. And actually, it's about legacy. It's about, you know, all the things that we've spoken about many a time on this show. So the gentleman went, yeah, I think you're right. So what do I do then with this video that I may repurpose using perhaps on the AI platform you never recommended? Do I upload the video directly on the website, or do I embed them? And if I go for embedding as opposed to a native uploading, which one is better, YouTube or Vimeo? What say you, Johnny Ross?
Great question. Yeah, I mean, we've talked for a long time about how different forms of content are so important. Different people take content in different ways, whether that be audio or visual or reading. So it's really important to have that cross-section of content. And we absolutely advocate for video hugely, especially, well, just in terms of how content's consumed right now, but more so for things like geo-optimization, AI, etc. So whether you upload or embed, well, it depends on what the video is, really. I think embed, they both have pros and cons, really. So if you, for example, wanting a sort of hero video the moment you get to a website and you sort of see that header image, then uploading to the website would be the best thing, because you can have full control over that. But you also need to make sure that you've optimized that video ridiculously well so that the speed of loading is really good. But where embed comes in is to support your YouTube channel. So if you're trying to grow a YouTube channel, trying to increase your search engine optimization to increase your visibility to be found, the more places that YouTube video is shared in relevant places, the better. So if you can support that YouTube channel by embedding YouTube videos to your website, then within blogs or within service pages or within product pages, that's a really, really good thing to do. I guess the downsides with embedding YouTube videos is that you don't have quite as much control. You can't control some of the branding. You can't control some of the sort of the adverts that might come in or the suggested videos afterwards. So I also have a Vimeo account. Now, Vimeo costs depending on how much you're uploading to the platform. But the beauty of Vimeo is that you've got full control of the branding and full control of how that video works and whether someone can download it or not or share it or not. So I think if you're looking for like a really polished video for perhaps a service page and it's, you know, really polished and it's bespoke to the website, then Vimeo would be the best way of doing it. If you're trying to really grow your YouTube channel, grow your presence, get more eyes on that particular video, then sharing and embedding the YouTube video would be the way forward, and really keep uploading to the website, really keeping that purely for elements on the website where you need it to be seamless in the website, but bearing in mind that it can affect the speed and the optimization of the site. So yeah, it's a bit of a mixed bag, but hopefully I've sort of explained the different routes and pros and cons.
And you've done so superbly well, my dear friend. So, you know, absolutely right. You know, because we have three options, you actually almost want to put together, you know, the business case for. So for me, the upload directly on the website would be for something that maybe is on a contact us page where there's a final message that can help with conversion. Maybe it's a product page, as you described. Maybe it's actually part of the case studies where, as you say, you want to control and make it really part of the website. For me, the choice with YouTube is almost as it should be, which is for that what I call social content, whereby you want, you know, the awful term shareability, you want the exposure to across, but also for others, people to happily share it and so on and convert it in so many different ways. Whereas Vimeo would be for my promotional content, you know, the case studies, maybe some training courses and so on. We're going to control what we call the player. There's more things you can do with YouTube. I've done some research on that because I remember everyone in one of our previous episodes, the complaint about YouTube is that when the video gets to the end, YouTube will automatically recommend other videos. And what you want to avoid, of course, is for the competition to be recommended, you know, on your website. That would be unfortunate. So remember that at the end of the address, you know, of the video itself, if you add the question mark REL for, you know, related, REL equals zero, it will recommend your own video from your own channel as opposed to outside. So for me, you know, I have three columns, you know, direct upload, YouTube and Vimeo, and you can start to make a list of which videos you were going to, you know, put where or in what manner. But in the context of the scenario where someone has put together lots of, you know, kind of Facebook reels and Instagram reels and so on, therefore very conversational in nature, I say, not compile them into a weekly or fortnightly or monthly roundup. But for me, that would be a YouTube embed for that one.
Yeah, we've got a comment coming through on LinkedIn. Kane Mitchell 100% agrees how to upload and embed. One point that Kane's made, which is interesting, is that considering cookies when you're embedding video. So having a cookie policy and being, you know, GDPR compliant is really important. And so making sure that you're including in your policies that there's third-party apps, etc., because that can not only cause problems with users, but also the engines actually wanting to show your pages. So really good point, Kane. Anyone else listening, if you've got any questions or points, please do add them. So yes, I like the idea of that three column and thinking about how to spread and how you can sort of use each of those channels. But the fact that people are asking you, not should I be adding video to my website, but how should I be adding, is brilliant. You know, we absolutely endorse adding video to your website. Should we move on to our next segment, which is website stories?
Now, in this segment of the show, Johnny and I review a content from the interweb, as I call it, with affections. It could be an article, could be a podcast, could be an ebook, and so on. And today, it's an article written by Jason Hellerman from No Film School. So to begin with, Johnny, and viewers and listeners, I'm delighted to present to you one of my go-to websites full of anecdotes, advice, and so on about visual storytelling called No Film School. Interestingly, I chose the article before we got the questions. So there is a bit of a theme going on, but I can't be accused of being well-organized because literally the article was chosen. Then I was asked a question a few days later. And the article's title is as follows: How Do YouTube Creators Hook the Audience Right Away? And what Jason was doing there in an article and a video was to kind of explore the, I suppose the language, the uniqueness of YouTube from the visual storytelling point of view. So there are many ways in which you can structure a story. There are many ways in which you can engage an audience. I typically teach myself, you know, a few. But for YouTube, particularly for the short form content, and what I mean by short form, by the way, Johnny, it's under the kind of 10-minute mark. I don't mean seconds, you know, but this idea of how do you structure your visual story in a way that is in line with the platform itself, which could be very different to others. So I recommend people follow the hyperlink on the show notes and watch the videos. But very, very quickly, there are five sections. I'm going to go through them once in terms of giving you the name of the sections, then give you a quick description. So segment one, or part one of your visual story for YouTube, is called the hook. Number two, the context. Number three, the rising action. Number four, the climax. And number five, the reflection. And all this is designed to help you think through before you go out with your mobile phone or your camera in terms of what you're going to capture. And this could be for B2B, B2C, social events and so on. So the hook really is when you spend a very short moment to present essentially the goal, the problem, and what you desire to do, you know, in by sharing that story. What is it that you're trying to achieve here? And you've got to explain essentially the what here. You know, what are we going to explore today? What are we going to look into? What are we going to solve as a problem? Or what are we going to understand better? That's number one. And that would be very brief. You know, I would say that would be no more than 15, 20 seconds within your video. Number two, the context is by far the most important one, surprisingly, but it's very, very important. You've got to go from the what, which is the hook, to the why. The context is to explain why you want to tell this story. Why is it important? Why is it significant to you and to your audience? And the context is very, very important. And oddly, you and I do that quite a bit when we do training, and we explain the why of the subject matter of the day before we move on to the explanation. And the context can be an entire minute explaining, you know, your why. Number three, the rising action. This is where, oddly, people think of this one first, and so should you. This is where you document the journey. And it's really important as part of a storytelling to document the journey truthfully, both what has worked out well, but also what has not worked out so well in your attempt to find the answer, in your attempt to understand something better, in the attempt to solve that problem. And those struggles and challenges as well, that part of the highs and lows, they can be both internal but also external. Perhaps something happened that delayed you from achieving what you wanted to achieve and so on. Number four is the climax, or the resolution, sometimes called in storytelling. And this is essentially what we've been waiting for. Did you not find the answer to the question, or did you not, you know, change what you were going to do? And this is really important for number four, to show the transformation. So, you know, I understand this better, I can do this quicker, and whatever the subject matter was. And finally, very, very quickly, you've got to close with the reflection. And essentially, like in all movies, you know, the hero is riding the horse into the sunset. You know, you've got to kind of, you know, give people a closure. So this is where you would summarize what you've learned. And the advice, which is interesting to me, is for, in the context of YouTube storytelling, you should only share one key takeaway and one lesson, not many lessons, which is perhaps something that could be very, very tempting to do when one is very generous. So there you have it. This is how, on YouTube specifically, you can adopt a specific form of storytelling.
Do you know, I think that's why we struggle to have a domineering YouTube channel, because there's no way that we can just give one tip away in each video. We just can't do it, can we? I like that a lot. I like the structure of that. I think it helps really get the mindset into how to structure a video, and the hook. Well, like you said, focusing on what the problem is first. I'd even take it further and make sure it's something that they really care about. What's the payoff for them? And jumping right into something that they care about, and also just some other tips in terms of how to. Because it's that doom scrolling, isn't it? And you know, we've got that autopilot of just scrolling down a feed. And so how can you interrupt that? And we call it pattern interrupting. So What can you do in that first sort of couple of seconds, whether it be a bold statement, a quick visual, or a surprising stat that really gets the brain to pay attention? So really hooking into the hook, as you've said, which is the big goal or the problem, but also bringing some kind of statement or surprising stat into that as well. Making sure that when you're doing a recording video, that we're using the word you and your, so that you're talking to the listener, directly to the listener. Don't be thinking, you know, that you're producing something for anyone and everyone. Imagine that you are literally just talking to that one ideal client. Who is that ideal person that you're solving this problem for, and talk directly to them. And we've always said that right from the early days of writing blogs, always use the word you and your, and always imagine that you're just writing to that sort of one person. A couple of other tips to bring into this, because as I said, I like the structure, and I like that you've got, you know, as you said, the hook, the context, the I'm just looking at the article, the rising action and the climax and the reflection. Just sort of focusing on that that hook first of all. Could you bring some curiosity into it as well? So whether that be, you know, just a play on words, really, to sort of get someone to be a bit more curious, to want to see what the answer is. And then finally, just a last tip from me is, what social proof can you bring into it? So perhaps something like, you know, we tested this across X number of clients, or X number of websites, or X number of whatever it might be, X number of products. What social proof can you bring into it quite quickly that again enhances why someone should watch? But yeah, I think instead of just sort of going off and recording a video, having some kind of structure, really thinking about how you're going to get that hook right at the beginning for someone to watch, I think is very strategic and a really clever idea.
Thank you very much. And, you know, practically what it means, though, it is very possible that you don't necessarily, let's say, write this down in the order which is on the page, but eventually when the finished document is shared, let's say, with yourself, whatever. So you might find that, you know, you start with number three, where you actually know what you're going to do from documenting the journey of, you know, trying to solve the problem or whatever. So you can start with number three, because you kind of work out the body of the video, out of which you can then extract the hook and the context, out of which you can extract the climax and the reflection. But very, very important when you document your journey, particularly if you are in a kind of advisory mode of sort, you've got to let people know both what's working, what's not working. You can't just be the hero that knows the answer immediately. It's not as relatable necessarily. Depends on what you do, of course. But also, if people say, oh, you know, I'm not sure, Johnny and Pascal, I'm not really into video yet, well, maybe you should write it first. And maybe this is the structure of some of the article series you can do. Because ultimately, in my view, Johnny, I close on that, if you can write it, then you can film it.
Well, I loved your the visual that you gave of the sort of guy riding off on the horse at the end, yeah. and bringing it back to film all the time, because you're right to do that. So I like the film connotations the whole way through, Pascal. Very good indeed. We should move to our next segment. It's the Website Engine Room.
Now, in this segment of the show, John and I like to research, you know, and share with you what we've discovered that could make life easier as a website manager or content creator, an app, maybe a piece of kit, maybe a resource online. So what have you discovered, Johnny Ross?
Well, this one, I have been on the fence as to whether to share it or not, I must be honest. But I've gone back to my principles. I've gone back to what I teach. And I've gone back to, actually, if you can be helpful, if you can give things away, then all that does is help you in your business. And what I have found is a tool called DeepSight. And it's on the huggingface.co platform. If you Google DeepSight, S-I-T, we'll put the links in the show notes anyway. What this is, it's an AI app that literally can create a website from a prompt within a matter of seconds, if not a minute or two. All the code, the full website, the content, the images, the whole thing, and it's mental. Am I afraid of sharing it? As I said, I was considering, but do you know what? If people, you know, the clients that I'm after are probably not the clients that want to just create their own website. I'm looking at clients that really want to invest in a multi-channel approach, that are thinking of a number of different aspects and not just the website, and actually really valuing the branding exercise, the design, the thought process. So where I see this tool fitting is an idea creation. So the way to be able to sort of play with ideas, the way to be able to generate, instead of starting from a blank page, to be able to sort of come up with something very quickly and easily. So I've not really explained the tool very well. So all you do is you go to this tool called DeepSight, linked in the show notes, type a quick prompt. For example, I want a new website that is selling a particular SaaS product to a particular sector. Give it sort of a couple more sentences, and within seconds, it literally produces a homepage with the code, with the images, with the content, with the text, the whole lot. And it's mind-blowing to see it in action. And as I said, it's a great way to start getting some ideas flowing and to start reflecting. And then you can always adjust the prompt, et cetera, et cetera. So there we go. It's DeepSight by Hugging on the huggingface.co platform.
Excellent. And not any link with the other Deep, Seek. There's no link there at all.
It's a good question. I'm not sure if it is using Deep. It is no. It does use Deep Seek in the background. So the engine that it's using is Deep Seek. However, you can change that to many other models. But Deep Seek is the model that the default model that it uses.
But I love the idea of all of us now in a position, and our clients, and trainees and mentees, in position to get to a prototype phase. Because it's so hard sometimes to explain what's in your head. It's so hard sometimes. But also, what is nice, you can use this platform and actually disagree with some of the suggestions. It's also part of the discovery stage of what you wanted to do. And that's why mass selection is a bit like this. So linked to a bit what we discussed with visual storytelling, I want to remind people that there are other AI platforms that exist out there. ChatGPT is not the only one. And of course, Gemini, owned by Google, have re-released for the third, fourth, fifth time now, their image generator. And its latest iteration is called Google Nano Banana, which is why some of you may be wondering why you have so many bananas all over YouTube shorts, or people dressed as bananas as well, trying to get your attention. And now, in previous episodes, I've been rather unkind about AI image generation or AI video generation. But I did say, though, in my defense, Johnny, that if we wait long enough, it's going to get good. And the time has very much, happened now. So Google Nano Banana, I played with it all weekend, last weekend, and I'm super impressed, really, really impressed. So from creating an image from nothing, as in you can just describe, what you have in mind, but actually the real power of Google Nano Banana is for you to actually upload your own images, could be for your products, for your services, and so on, and actually use that as the inspiration for new versions or additional photos that can tell your story much, much better. The one feature that people have seen, no doubt online, because it's been countless YouTube demonstrations where you can upload multiple images and actually ask Gemini, Google Nano Banana, to merge them. So you could have the picture of an individual, a car, a tree, sunny sky and so on, all separate images, but then Google can actually combine those into a one image where all the elements, and then the blending essentially, which was very, very poor in the past, is now you have to really, really look very, very carefully to detect, any kind of blemishes and so on. But the other things you can do, of course, is create a series of images and then move on to the other aspects of Gemini, which is to then animate those images. So you could have some teaser content. We're not there yet in terms of having a full-blown product demo and that kind of things, but it's coming, no doubt. So for me, I want people to start to upscale themselves as image creators using AI, which means that you're going to have to really polish your briefing skills because you need to kind of get that. Now, on one hand, I'm working on the little guide, Johnny, just in terms of, what would be the structure of a briefing for images. But I know that online you've got some support from Google. They have done some elements of sharing prompts and that kind of thing. It's not great, but it's a good start. But I think that now that we've, I would suggest 3 years on from ChatGPT being launched, we have mastered the art of writing a brief to get text-based information. This year, now, and next year, battleground's going to be image and video generation.
Yeah, Google have done well on this one. There's no question about it. It is a really impressive tool. So that's the Google Nano Banana. We'll put the links in the show notes. Let's move on to our final segment, which is, of course, we always finish with the website call to action.
So using the hook technique we explored a moment ago, I'm going to ask you, Johnny, would you like to know the one change or the one adjustment that can make your website work harder for you?
Oh, yes, please. And I've reflected back at the 46 episodes prior to this one, and I can't believe I've not mentioned optimizing Core Web Vitals. It's really simple. There's two ways to check them. If you Google Google PageSpeed Tester is one way, put your homepage in there, and it will soon tell you what your Core Web Vitals are, whether you pass them or not. This is about the speed of the site, whether it works on mobile, et cetera, and secondly, more importantly, logging into your Google Search Console account. So just signing up for Google Search Console and having a look in the Core Web Vitals tab, and it will soon tell you if there's problems. If there's problems in either of those tools, then Google and all the other search engines will not be ranking or showing your website anywhere near as much as competitors if you are not passing your Core Web Vitals. So check them, fix them, and make sure that your website is super fast, responsive, and visually stable, really. That would be my website call to action.
Yeah, I'm shocked that you've not mentioned that before. But even if you had, I think reminders are very important. So my recommendation, my call to action, actually, is you want to get inspired by a recent interaction with customers where, of course, when you are in charge of marketing, whether that's your full-time occupation or one of the many plates spinning for the business and so on, you are using a number of marketing tools and apps. And we're talking about AI a lot. We're talking about productivity. We're looking about ingenuity, being more imaginative with your marketing thanks to the tools of the time. But I would say, do you know what? What would be helpful, I reckon, if you could make a list of all of your digital marketing apps and software solutions, including the free ones that you subscribe to. And I reckon that if you were to go through the list one by one and investigate if an AI assistant has been added to that platform that you take a bit for granted, you might save yourself hours per month in doing what you do on a weekly, monthly basis. And with that fail, people have come back and say, you were right, there is a little new little symbol on the top right that I've never seen before, and so on and so forth. So please understand, everyone, you know, the software you use every day for your marketing, for running your website, they will have introduced AI, but they won't tell you because, of course, they don't want people to go all at the same time using AI and break it. So it is for us to be curious. And if it's actually a software where, forgive me, Johnny, you're paying quite a bit of money, I would not hesitate to get in touch with customer service and say, I want a tour of the platform, because you may be actually, you know, using all of the features, and I want to demo how to use AI to save myself a quarter of an hour here, half an hour here. You can reclaim all that time to then run your website more successfully.
A brilliant tip. I love it. Absolutely love it. This stuff is just waiting to help you and increase productivity. Another great episode, Boost Website Performance with Smarter Video, AI Tools and Core Web Vitals. We've focused heavily on video. We focused whether you should be embedding or uploading YouTube versus Vimeo. Hopefully we've helped you think about that more and think about the three different columns that you could be using. How to create a hook on your YouTube videos, having that structure, trying to interrupt the pattern and trying to really focus on the problem that the user, that your ideal client has got, and really, really focusing on that and trying to make it a movie. I mean, you know, Pascal, the movie background, try and make it a movie, even if it's a short one, but a very good one. And then we've given you some top tips on how to make one change or adjustment to your website right now to help you start feeling proud of it, and some great tools to whether to generate imagery or whether to create ideas for websites as some kind of prototype. Great episode, Pascal. Thank you.
Well, thank you to you too, and thank you to you, viewers and listeners.
Thanks for joining us. We're really pleased that you've been with us, and do let us know if you've got any questions that you want us to come up in future episodes. Please do ask. And more importantly, please tell your friends, please like, please share. And if you were to do one thing, go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review, because I can't tell you how much it would mean to us if you were to do that. It would be amazing. We'd be so grateful. And it makes a big difference. It makes us for so many reasons, which I'm sure you understand. So it would be amazing if you go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. But that is a wrap for episode 47 of the 90 Day Website Mastery Podcast, your audio companion to the 90 Day Website Mastery Program. For more information, visit 90daymarketingmastery.com, where you can book a discovery call with either myself or Pascal. All of the tips, all of the links will be in the show notes, but it's goodbye for now, and we'll leave you with a fun video and audio montage to enjoy whilst you review your notes and action steps. Thanks, Pascal, and thanks everyone for being with us. Take care. We'll see you all soon.